This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest is a regular contributor to the Health First show, Dr. Kate Rayon-Blue. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on the show today. Tell us a little bit about some of the research you've been doing in terms of natural health products and what is on the horizon.
Oh, there's so many interesting things out these days, and I have to say that an area of passion for me right now is cognitive health. Mm. So that is how we can get our brain to work as well as possible, both today as well as to preserve our brain power for the future. So dementia prevention and that kind of thing. And there really is a lot of very interesting research being done in this area in terms of better understanding the brain, how it works, what kinds of things go wrong that can lead to dementia or that can affect our cognitive capacity, and natural ways that we can help combat that and really kind of boost our brain power.
Let's talk about dementia. You know, I was talking to somebody on the weekend, and they were telling me that their father... in law was experiencing some, you know, kind of confusion, mm-hmm. and was for the first time letting his wife do all the driving, mm-hmm. Because he was a little bit unsure of the directions. Is that normal behavior, or is that a sign that, you know, there's some things going on with the brain, or just brain fog that happens from time to time?
Well, typically becoming confused in a familiar place or becoming confused under situations in which you haven't previously may in fact be an early sign of Alzheimer's disease, for example. We do know that there are changes that happen to the brain that can happen with time and with age that are sometimes called, for example, benign senile forgetfulness or benign brain changes with age. But becoming confused in a familiar place isn't one of them, and that may be a sign of Alzheimer's. The tricky thing is it can be challenging to get a proper assessment. Sometimes that can be hard to get a really good handle or diagnosis on what's happening if it is very early. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things we can do to help our brains work better and forestall and even prevent those kinds of changes.
Mm. So what are some of those things that we should be considering, Dr. Kate?
Well, there are a few very simple things that can help our brain work better. For example, exercise. Mm. It's surprising, but just being physically active has been shown to increase the number number of brain cells, believe it or not. You can actually help grow new brain cells by being physically active. It increases the level of neurotransmitters. Those are the chemical messengers by which our brain cells communicate with one another. And you increase what are called synapses. These are the connections between brain cells. And studies have shown that people who are physically active, or if they take groups of people and they put them through, say, a few weeks of physical activity, and it doesn't have to be strenuous or complicated. Typically, walking is just what's used in these studies. Those people have better cognitive function at the end of that time than similar groups of people who participated in a sedentary activity. So just getting up and being physically active is a great thing to do for your brain.
What about sitting in front of the TV all day? What does that do for the brain?
Well, sitting is not good to begin with. You know, sitting's the new smoking, as you've probably heard people say, and it changes our metabolism in a number of ways. And you know, the brain is a use-it-or-lose-it kind of thing. So sitting and watching TV, you're really not using your brain, and so for that reason, it isn't good. There's also aspects of, you know, staring at a screen that can be problematic, and you know, at the end of the day, you're not challenging your brain in any way, so that isn't a good thing to do.
I think there would be a number of senior citizens that might argue that watching the weather station might be stimulating.
Well, that may be the case, but then you got to go out and do something about it.
So let's get people exercising. Mm-hmm. Then what else do they need to do to nourish their brain?
Well, we have to remember that one of the things that affects our brain is free radical damage. And so having lots of antioxidants in your diet, and you can get that simply through lots of colorful fruits and vegetables, green leafy vegetables and herbs and spices, that helps you get more antioxidants naturally in through
your diet. Okay, Dr. Kate, I'm going to stop you right there because we have two big words here, free radical damage and antioxidants, which a lot of people might be confused about. What are they?
That's right. So free radical damage, this is what happens when electrons basically from your tissues, it's sort of like a process that we liken to rusting. Oxidation is the technical term for it. And tissues are subject to this kind of damage, especially in the brain. And then when that happens, the tissues aren't as healthy, the brain cells aren't as healthy, but we have simple ways we can protect ourselves against this kind of oxidative or free radical damage, and that is with naturally occurring antioxidants. Our body makes some antioxidants, but we get most of them in through our food. And so again, having lots of colorful fruits and vegetables and different herbs and spices is a great way to get in natural antioxidants, like vitamin C, vitamin E, and other unique ones.
So if we're getting these antioxidants in our system and fighting the free radical damage, will we notice a difference?
We might. It's possible. Typically, on that level of protection, it was more a matter of delaying the onset versus reversing symptoms. There are natural ways through diet and supplements that you may be able to reverse some of the symptoms associated with early signs of Alzheimer's, for example. And really, when it comes to our brain, fat is where it's at. Our brain is 60% fat by weight, and the fat that you have in your diet can make a huge impact on your brain health. And studies have shown that intake of higher levels of omega-3 fatty acids can have meaningful improvements in your cognitive function, even for people who already have some of the early signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, for example. They've been shown to have improvements in mood, memory, cooperation, ability to navigate around the home, and these are important differences in the way our brain works.
How much omega-3s do people need to take to notice a difference in their brain health and to help reverse some of these symptoms of dementia?
The studies typically use around 1 gram, but it can, you know, the higher studies will be using 1 to 2 grams of essential fatty acid supplement. And by the way, the ones that are used in research are the omega-3s from fish oil. Okay. That is consistently what is used in research studies, and it is the one that seems to provide the most omega-3s, which have the greatest impact on our brain health.
What about coconut oil? There was some research out there that, or some people suggesting that the use of coconut oil could help the brain.
That's right. Now, coconut oil is a very healthy fat. It has a lot of great properties for cooking, for example, great for frying and baking even because you can subject it to high temperatures and it's not damaged. And also, coconut is high in something called lauric acid, which is a short-chain fatty acid. And this is beneficial for the brain in a number of ways. As a matter of fact, one of the only other foods that is as high in lauric acid as coconut oil is human breast milk because it's so important for developing brains and for brains throughout life. So that's one of the reasons why coconut received a lot of attention around its brain health and as a healthy fat. It doesn't have as much research behind it as, for example, a fish oil does, but it's still a healthy fat to include in your diet and great for cooking.
Okay. Are there any other oils that are specific for the brain function? I'm hearing a lot about herring oil, for example.
Yeah, so herring is, there's been more sort of news and interest in this because the form that the fats come in seem to access the brain more efficiently. So this is, I'm talking about herring roe. Fish eggs are a great source of what are called omega-3 phospholipids. So these are the omega-3 fatty acids that most people have heard of, but bound to these protein carriers that occur naturally in fish eggs, for example. And that helps to bring that fat into the brain tissue, as well as skin and other areas of the body, much more efficiently. And so there's been some interesting kind of preclinical trials and laboratory research looking at the fat getting into brain tissue more effectively. And as the clinical trials go on, we're hoping to see that that will make an even greater difference in brain function.
We're talking with Dr. Kate Ray on Blue. We're talking about cognitive health in this half of the show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out some more practical ways that you can improve and prevent dementia.